Please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by Anna Oppenheim. Discoursing the method of rightly conducting one's reason and thinking by Rene Descartes. Part 3. And finally, as it is not enough, before commencing to rebuild the house in which we live, that it be pulled down, the materials and builders provided, or we engage in the work ourselves according to a plan which we have beforehand, carefully drawn out, but as it is likewise necessary that we be furnished with some other house in which we may live commodiously during the operations, so that I might not remain irresolute in my actions, while my reason compels me to suspend my judgment, and that I might not be prevented from living thenceforward in the greatest possible felicity, I form Provisory Code of Morals, composed of 3 or 4 maxims, with which I am desirous to make you acquainted. The first was to obey the laws and custom of my country, adhering firmly to the faith in which, by the grace of God, I had been educated from my childhood, and regulating my conduct in every other matter according to the most moderate opinions, and the farthest removed from extremes, which should happen to be adopted in practice as general consent of the most judicious of those among whom I might live. For as I had from that time began to hold my own opinions for naught, because I wished to subject them all to examination, I was convinced that I could not do better than follow in the meantime the opinions of the most judicious. And although there are some, perhaps among the Persians and Chinese, as judicious as among ourselves, expediency seemed to dictate that I should regulate my practice conformably to the opinions of those with whom I should have to live. And it appeared to me that in order to ascertain the real opinions of such, I ought rather to take cognizance of what they practiced than of what they said, not only because, in the corruption of our manners, there are few disposed to speak exactly as they believe, but also because very many are not aware of what it is that they really believe. For as the act of mind by which a thing is believed is different from that by which we know that we believe it, the one act is often found without the other. Also, amid many opinions held in equal repute, I choose always the most moderate, as much for the reason that these are always the most convenient for practice, and probably the best, for all excess is generally vicious, as that in the event of my falling into error, I might be at less distance from the truth than if, having chosen be the armor which I ultimately adopted. When I placed the glass of extremes, especially all promises, for which somewhat of our freedom is abridged, not that I disapprove of the laws which you provide against the instability of man, a feverish delusion, when what is thought to be accomplished is some good, permit engagements by vows and contracts binding the parties to persevere in it, or even, for the security of commerce, sanction similar engagements where the purpose sought to be realized is indifferent. But, because I did not find anything on earth that was wholly superior to change, and because for myself in particular, I hope gradually to perfect my judgments, not to suffer, then to deteriorate, I would have deemed it a great sin against good sense, if, for the reason that I approve of something at a particular time, I therefore bound myself to hold it for good at a subsequent time, when perhaps it had ceased to be so, or I had ceased to esteem it such. My second maxim was to be as firm and resolute in my actions as I was able, and not to appear less steadfast to the most doubtful opinions when once adopted than if they had been highly certain. Imitating in this the examples of travelers who, when they have lost their way in a forest, ought not to wander from side to side, far less remain in one place, but proceed constantly towards the same side in as straight a line as possible, without changing their direction for slight reasons, although perhaps it might be chance alone which at first determines the direction. For in this way, if they do not exactly reach the point they desire, they will come, at least in the end, to some place that will probably be preferable to the middle of the forest. In the same way, since in action it frequently happens that no delay is permissible, it is very certain that, when it is not in our power to determine what is true, we ought to act according to what is most probable. And even although we should not dream of a greater probability in one opinion than in another, we ought notwithstanding to choose one or the other, and afterwards consider it, in so far as it relates to practice, as no longer dubious, but manifestly true and certain, since the reason by which our choice has been determined is itself possessed of these qualities. This principle was sufficient thenceforward to rid me of all those repentings and pangs of remorse that usually disturb the conscience of such feeble and uncertain minds as, destitute of any clear and determined principle of choice, allow themselves one day to adopt a course of action as the best, which they abandon the next as the opposite. God absolutely impossible. And this simple principle seemed to me sufficient to prevent me from desiring for the future anything which I could not obtain, and such rendering contented. For since our will naturally seeks those objects alone which the understanding represents as in some way possible of attainment, it is plain that if we consider all external goods as equally beyond our power, we shall no more regret the absence of such goods as seeming due to our birth, when deprived of them without any fault of ours. Then our not possessing the kingdoms of China or Mexico, and thus making, so to speak, a virtue of necessity, we shall no more desire health and disease, or freedom and imprisonment, than we now do bodies incorruptible as diamonds, or the wings of birds to flowers. But I confess, there is needed prolonged discipline and frequently repeated meditation to accustom the mind to view all objects in this light. And I believe that in this chiefly consisted the secret of the power of such philosophers as in former times were enabled to rise superior to the influence of fortune, and amid suffering and poverty, enjoy a happiness which their gods might have envied. For, occupied incessantly with the consideration of the limits prescribed to their power by nature, they became so entirely convinced that nothing was at their disposal except their own thoughts. This conviction was of itself sufficient to prevent their entertaining any desire of other objects, and over their thoughts they acquired a sway so absolute that they had some ground on this account for esteeming themselves more rich and more powerful, more free and more happy than other men who, whatever be the favors heaped on them by nature and fortune, if destitute of this philosophy, can never command the realization of all their desires. In fine, to conclude this code of morals, I thought of reviewing the different occupations of men in this life, with the view of making choice of the best, and without wishing to offer any remarks on the employment of others, I may state that it was my conviction that I could not do better than continue in that in which I was engaged, viz. In devoting my whole life to the culture of my reason, and in making the greatest progress I was able in the knowledge of truth on the principles of the method which I had prescribed to myself. This method, from the time I had begun to apply it, had been to me a source of satisfaction so intense as to lead me to believe that more perfect or more innocent could not be enjoyed in God, as you bow into our sound life of reading, the which distinguish truth from error. I could not have believed that I ought for a single moment to rest satisfied with the opinions of another, unless I had resolved to exercise my own judgment in examining these whenever I should be duly qualified for the task. Nor could I have proceeded on such opinions without scruple, had I supposed that I should thereby forfeit any advantage for attaining still more accurate, should such exist. And, in fine, I could not have restrained my desires, nor remained satisfied, had I not followed a path in which I saw myself certain of attaining all the knowledge through the acquisition of which I was competent, as well as the largest amount of what is truly good, which I could ever hope to secure, in as much as we neither seek nor shun any object except in so far as our understanding represents it as good or bad. All that is necessary to right action is right judgment, and the best action the most correct judgment, that is, with acquisition of all the virtues, with all else that is truly valuable, and within our reach, and the assurance of such an acquisition, cannot fail to render us contented. Having thus provided myself with these maxims, and having placed them in reserve along with the truths of faith which have ever occupied the first place in my belief, I came to the conclusion that I might, with freedom set about, ridding myself of what remained of my opinions, and in as much as I hoped to be better able successfully to accomplish this work by holding intercourse with mankind, than by remaining longer shut up in the retirement where these thoughts had occurred to me. I betook me again to traveling before the winter was well ended, and during the 9 subsequent years I did nothing but roam from one place to another, desirous of being a spectator rather than an actor in the plays exhibited on the theater of the world, and as I made it my business in each matter to reflect particularly upon what might fairly be doubted and prove a source of error, I gradually rooted out from my mind all the errors which had hitherto crept into it. Not that in this I imitated the skeptics, who doubt only what they may doubt, and seek nothing beyond uncertainty itself. For, on the contrary, my design was singly to find ground of assurance, and cast aside the loose earth and sand, that I might reach the rock or the clay. In this, as it appears to me, I was successful. not very feasible to invent, but very clear and certain reasons. I imagine nothing so doubtful as not to yield some confusion or adequate certainty. Although, since they're merely the inferiors of the matter in question contained nothing certain. Where are the grounds of this opinion? random stuff. Majority of video page is for 2 and it's now exactly 8 years since this design constrained me to remove from all